Here at 2SER, not only are we celebrating our 2022 Radiothon, we're also celebrating the fact that it is World Space Week 2022. The theme this year is space and sustainability. And who better to talk to than Dr. Sarah Webb, a passionate science communicator dedicated to sharing the wonders of astronomy and astrophysics to a wider audience. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Happy science. Oh, well, happy space, not science week, space week.
Happy space week to you as well. Now, firstly, so you're amongst the many titles that you have. You're an astrophysicist. What is that exactly?
I am. So it's just a physicist that studies things away from the Earth. So it could be, we take astrophysicist or the title astronomer. So it's anyone who's studying something to do with the universe. And I study lots of explosions very distant away from us.
All right, so you're going through a real purple patch at the moment with the double asteroid redirection test happening.
Oh my gosh, it is so incredibly exciting because one of the things that I do, among the many others, is actually teach high school students about space law and space sustainability and space experimentation. So they were very, very excited for the DART mission because they're all like, oh my goodness, maybe we can see it work in our lifetimes and actually, you know, protect us from an asteroid, which... no fear mongering, that shouldn't happen in our lifetimes.
Oh, gee, I certainly hope not. Good to see that NASA's taking cues from Bruce Willis movies, though. So the double asteroid redirection test, I would advise people to look at this on Google because the thing does a funny thing where the asteroid hits the page and puts it off kilter. But this was designed to assess how much a spacecraft impact deflects an asteroid through a transfer of momentum by hitting the asteroid head-on and attempting to slow it down. They had a direct hit last week, but it took them a while to get the results. We're starting to see some results trickle in now.
We are, and we'll start to see them over the next couple of weeks. But so far, it looks, not only do we know that it was a confirmed hit, and almost dead on target as well, so dead center of this tiny little asteroid, which is an incredible feat, but it looks like it has changed its orbit. To what degree? We're still doing the calculations, but it's just incredible, and it's a true test of understanding not only just basic physics, like that transfer of momentum, but the engineering to make this project happen was beyond amazing.
Excellent. And World Space Week, rather, celebrating space and sustainability. What does that mean exactly? Is there sort of pressure on space agencies to use the research that they conduct and the things that they find to maintain the standard of living we have here on the ground?
Yeah, I think space, when people think about space, we don't kind of connect it to our everyday lives all of the time. It's kind of separate. But it is so incredibly important for just everything that we do in our lives, especially here in Australia. One aspect of space is Earth observation. So everyone will know in Australia, we have the most extreme weather events you can think of, from flooding, bushfires, you know, hurricanes, or cyclones up north. It's an incredibly diverse weather place, which means that we have to be on it to protect not only ourselves from these extreme events, but also the nature of our land as well. And a lot of that can be done from Earth observation and early detection systems for things like flooding or fires. And things like that would be really impossible without satellites in space. And this use of satellites to improve our lives, I mean, if anyone has ever ordered an Uber or Uber Eats, that GPS up there is, you know, 36,000 kilometers above you, pinging your signal to your driver to get you or your food where it needs to go. So, like, things like that we kind of take for granted, but it is incredibly important. But what is kind of scary, and a little bit worrisome, and why sustainability and things like that are really important, is the fact that we, as a planet as a whole, are launching kind of an unprecedented amount of stuff into space.
Right.
A good example is things like Starlink. So it is a great program that will help internet connectivity in remote and rural places. But the amount of satellites launching is incredible. We're going to double the amount of satellites in low Earth orbit in no time. So things like that are important to remember.
Yeah, that is a bit of a worry, isn't it? I imagine that's going to be a thing that's going to play more of a factor, the sort of fact that there's space pollution and space debris. You talk about sort of the role that Australia plays as part of space agencies in the global space industry. That's something that sort of, you can point at that and sort of say, hey, this is good for the economy and good for the world in which we live, isn't it?
Oh, 1,000%. So I think what people don't realize so much is our space agency is a little bit different to NASA. So NASA not only is a regulatory system, but it's also a massive research institutions all over the United States. Whereas the space agency here really at the moment is our overseeing body. So no fundamental research goes on at the space agency itself, but they regulate where different grants go to, who can send what to space, and what things they're going to support and not. And you can't do anything in space without going through the necessary approvals, because as Australia, we're signed up to a heap of different international treaties to make the world a better place and make space a safer and better place. And so they regulate all of that. That's a very difficult job. But what we're seeing and what is so exciting is that in the last like 5-10 years, the amount of startup and research companies that have started here in Australia dedicated to space research is just incredible. Like Gilmore Rocket Labs is just one example of something that has grown so much over 10 years to now being able to build Australia's very first launchable rocket.
And how would someone go about sort of starting a career in the sort of a career in space, not just being an astronaut, but being an astrophysicist like yourself?
Yeah. So depending what you want to do, there's so many different paths. If you want to be an astronomer like me, it's lots of physics, so you probably have to do a science and a physics degree. But you might want to be like a rocket welder or a rocket engineer. Ooh. And for things like that, there's going to start to be TAFE courses specifically designed for trades around space industry, because without skilled professionals, we can't do any of the things that we need to do to send rockets to space and to maintain facilities. And if you want to do all of the tricky, fun math to figure out where the rocket wants to go, there's amazing engineering courses that you can do. And little plug, if you want to study space applications, here at Swinburne, we have a new co-major where you get to learn space law and microgravity and all of the good, fun things.
Dr. Sarah Webb, I feel like I could talk to you for hours on end. I wish it was World Space Week every week, so I'd get you back here on a regular segment. But I'm going to keep your details on file and have a chat with you in the near future on 2SER Breakfast, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, where can people go to find out more about you and the work that you're undertaking?
Sure. So people can go to Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok for Sarah Webb Science. You can just Google me and you can learn all of the fun things.
Dr. Sarah Webb, I'm wishing you a very happy World Space Week, and thank you so much for joining us on 2SER Breakfast.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.